We are on page 202. And what the rabbi has told us so far is that the Jewish people are the subject of the person who's known as the suffering servant in Sefer Yeshaya chapter 52 and 53. A person who suffers because of our sins. Who suffers because of our sins? The prophet is describing none other than the Jewish people who suffer for the sins of, or the mistakes or the impurity of the other nations. And of course, we mentioned the last time our discussion revolved around that certainly the difference between the Christian interpretation of this verse, of these verses, and the Jewish interpretation of these verses, certainly for Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, this person is a metaphor, is not one individual, but is rather a nation. It's the nation of Israel, who is being portrayed as a very sickly, diseased, and hard to look at nation because of the suffering that they undergo over the course of the centuries. And the Kuzari is very bothered with, and this is where we'll pick up in paragraph 35 on page 202. He says, how can this be an analogy to Israel when it says in that same scriptural passage, however, he has borne our sicknesses. He was wounded because of our transgressions and so forth, implying that he suffers because of other sins. But the Jews have sustained what they have only because of their own sins. And that's typically the way we understand the suffering of the Jewish people. It is through the fact that we've sinned ourselves. And that's certainly what we normally understand. As a matter of fact, there's a prayer that we say called Tziduk Adin, where we have to accept upon ourselves at times of great stress and of great suffering that we understand and acknowledge Hatsur Tamim Ba'alo, that God's acts are completely righteous. And part of Tziduk Adin is to acknowledge that many times if I suffer in life, it's because of my own mistakes. I have to accept responsibility for sometimes that I have to acknowledge that the sins that I have performed are the reason why I have experienced certain types of suffering or loss in life. And yet, the prophet Yeshaya says not that way. The prophet Yeshaya says that there are times when the Jewish people suffer because of other people's sins. So what is going on here? What is the concept? Like we had this conversation with Patricia last time we had this class. What is this idea of, what's the word I'm looking for? Vicarious punishment. In other words, how is it that the Jewish people can be punished because of sins of other people? How do we suffer? How does it work? The rabbi answered, Israel among the nations is like a heart among its organs. The heart, I just mentioned you, Patricia. The heart is a very sensitive organ, and that it becomes quite ill from the influence of the other organs, and is also considerably healthy from their influence. So the Kuzari immediately says, explain further. So let's just first introduce this idea. The idea is that the Jewish people have been compared to a number of things in the Sefer HaKuzari. We are known as the elite of all mankind. We are known as the seed from which all other, the tree of humanity grows, right? Here, when we talk about the human body, all of mankind is compared to a human body. And different nations represent different limbs and organs of the human body. What organ are the Jewish people? We are the heart of the body. And as Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, the heart is a very sensitive organ. And that's the premise. It is the most sensitive of the organs in its first detection of external stimuli. And it is that very sensitivity that makes the organ so fragile, but also makes it able to detect and repel illness at the first moment of detection. In other words, you can think about this in the context of a very, very frail insect. a very frail insect has extremely sensitive detectors on, or let's say antenna, on the exterior of its exoskeleton of its body. It has to have that very sensitive receptors because since it is so frail, it needs to detect in a very, very sensitive way the first threat of any impending external pressure, any external threat. So as soon as it feels, you know, I could crush that insect with my foot, but if it's an insect that can fly, as soon as it feels a change in the wind, as soon as it changes, that's why you can never get that fly when you want to try and get it, because the fly is somehow is able to detect through its sensors there's a change in wind, there's a movement that it's not used to, and therefore immediately zigs or zags away from that. So the more fragile the organism, the more sensitive its external receptors are. The Jewish people are like the heart, because of all of the organs of the body, the heart is the most fragile and sensitive of all of the organs. And now we're going to explain what that means. The rabbi said the heart ails constantly. It is continually plagued by worry, dread, fright, desire for revenge, hatred, lovesickness, and fear of danger. These are all different emotional states. And the reason why they're associated with the heart, even though the heart is not an emotional organism, it's really a pump. But what is he really saying? Where is emotion among the physical organs the most detectable? It's in the heart. If a person is nervous, if a person is frightened, the heart starts to race and starts to beat faster. If a person is happy, a person is dancing, then the heart also beats faster. And if a person is at rest and is relaxed, the heart starts to slow down. It's true that it is just a pump that is just pumping blood to all of the organs. But yet, the heart manifests different emotional states that a human being is in. So therefore, you can detect from the heart all of the things that are going around in a person's life, even based on different scenarios that I put myself in that I feel based on my external stimuli, are expressed by the heart. Okay? So its temperament changes from one moment to the next, even because of one extra breath or the lack of one breath. It is even more affected because of bad food or drink, by movement, by exertion, and by the amount of sleep that one gets. All the organs, on the other hand, can exist quite tranquilly. And what he means by that is that you don't see manifest in the other organs these kinds of changes based upon lack of sleep or emotional stress and the like. So in paragraph 39, we're on top of page 203, the Kuzari said, I understand how the heart can become considerably sick from the other organs. Because if the other organs are being adversely affected, if a person is feeling pain in his arm, so then immediately the heart begins to feel stress and the heart starts to beat faster. But explain how it can become considerably healthy from their influence. How does the heart improve through the health of the body? The rabbi said, is it possible for the heart to sustain for any extended period any sort of abscess, cancer, dead tissue, wound, paralysis, or weakness as other parts of the body can? The Kuzari replied, no, that's impossible. The heart is extremely sensitive, he says, because death would soon follow these conditions. The heart is a very sensitive organ because of the purified blood that flows through it. And of course, perhaps he means the oxygenated blood that the heart receives. And its strength, the heart will detect even the slightest aberration that may threaten it and will attempt to repel it while it still can before it can do any considerable damage. Other organs, by contrast, do not react as sensitively, and therefore aberrations may linger within them long enough to cause serious injury. Now, we're attributing a certain kind of immunity or immune system that the heart has because of its fragile and sensitive nature. the heart, as soon as it detects that something is wrong, if there's, God forbid, a puncture in the heart, immediately the heart begins to detect it and starts to beat irregularly. There's arrhythmia. There's all different kinds of conditions in the heart whenever there's even the slightest malfunction taking place, Rahmanul Litzlan. The heart is an amazing organ. It's a vital organ. It's the most vital organ, perhaps. And yet it is extremely fragile and sensitive. So its sensitivity is what causes it to react at the slightest aberration and start to react and try to repair itself and repel any kind of injury or wound or abscess and the like. The rabbi said, if so, then it is the heart sensitivity that causes it to feel considerable sickness as influenced by the other organs, but it is this very same sensitivity that enables it to repel from itself any aberration at the outset of the attack before it can settle in and do real harm. It's like that insect, that fly that I told you about. The fly has such sensitive receptors that it knows how to evade and avoid incurring injury. The heart, because of its great sensitivity, also knows how to repel and avoid sickness, because there are certain symptoms that the heart displays to let you know that there's something wrong. The Kuzari says, okay, I agree. So now we go to page 204, paragraph 44. And this is where the rabbi says, okay, now let's bring it home and let's talk about now the Jewish people. The Jewish people are that very sensitive and fragile organ. The rabbi said, similarly, the divinity in relation to us is like the soul in relation to the heart. Just as the soul first connects to the heart and then spreads to the rest of the body, so does God's influence in the world connect first to Israel and then spread to the rest of the world. Now, this is something that I included. This is not in the original text, but this is really what the Kuzari is trying to communicate. And this is why scripture states, only you have I known from all the families of the earth. This is why I will bring punishment upon you for all your sins. This is the considerable sickness of the heart in our analogy. Okay, so here's the way it works. The Jewish people are the extremely sensitive organ. We are the first to feel when there's a disconnect between God and the world. And how does that disconnect occur? That disconnect occurs when there's any illness within the Jewish people. Hashem will not connect with the world. If we are sick, if we're not functioning properly as the Jewish nation, God will not connect with the world. But the analogy, and therefore, right, this is the considerable sickness of the heart in our analogy. If we become sick, then the rest of the body suffers. The rest of the body suffers because Hashem cannot connect to the rest of the world if the Jewish people are not functioning. But the analogy of the heart's robustness, in other words, and how does the heart heal itself, and why does the heart have an advantage because of its sensitivity, can be explained by the prayer instituted by our sages. He forgives the sins of his nation Israel. He removes sins one by one. This means that God does not allow our sins to linger and accumulate to the point where they would cause our complete destruction. God did allow this to happen to the Amorites. As it says, the sins of the Amorites were not yet complete. God did not interfere with the Amorites and allowed the malady of their sins to accumulate and strengthen until their sins destroyed them. So this is point number two. So point number one, because the heart is a vital organ, the Jewish people are the vital organ of humanity. If the heart gets sick, the rest of the body gets sick. That's analogy number one between the Jewish people and the heart. And that is that primarily, the only way for Hashem to have a healthy relationship with all of humanity is if he can have a healthy relationship with the Jewish people. If there is divinity resting within the Jewish people, then that divinity can spread to the rest of the world. If there's no divinity attaching itself to the Jewish people, then that divinity cannot spread to the rest of the world. So that's analogy number one. Just like the heart, if it's sick, the rest of the body is sick. That's the Jewish people. Analogy number two. The heart, because of its sensitivity, detects sickness at the first sign and is therefore able to repel and repair that illness earlier and sooner and nip it in the bud. That's the second analogy between Israel and the heart. There are certain organs that, Rahmana Litzlan, can develop cancer and tumors and the person is completely oblivious to the fact that there may be a tumor growing in certain one part of the body in a vital organ that goes undetected because the organ is not, does not have that sensitivity to illness. That's unfortunately, you know, they talk about silent killers, right? Rahmana Litzlan, pancreas, ovarian, prostate, God forbid, all of those organs, right? Unfortunately, sometimes if you're not monitoring the body regularly, a person could feel very healthy and doesn't even know that there's something diseased in one of those vital organs. The heart is not that way. As soon as the heart gets even slightly ill, there's a detection within the heart to say, hey, something's wrong. And that's why the heart has this self-repair kind of mechanism, because it detects illness right away. Why is that analogous to the Jewish people? The difference between the Jewish people and the rest of the nations is what we just read in the Torah reading this morning for a fast day. Ma'avir Rishon Rishon, that God removes sins one at a time from the Jewish people. This is the method whereby God allows the Jews to outlast any other nation. How do we outlast any other nation? Hashem never allows our sins to reach, to accumulate, and to reach terminal level. If a nation commits sin after sin after sin, and they do not receive any expiation, any kind of punishment, or any kind of atonement for those sins, then eventually the measure is filled, that's the language of the Talmud, and God wipes out that nation. That's what happened with the Amorites, and that's what he's saying over here in the second paragraph. The Jewish people sin just like any other nation sins. The difference is that when the Jewish nation sins, God expiates sin one by one. And that's why the key to our longevity is our suffering. Through our suffering, we're able to expiate, to atone for the sins that we've committed. And therefore, God allows us to continue existing. This is part of the destiny of the Jewish people. Our destiny is that we have to continue existing until the Messianic age. The world cannot exist without the Jewish people. So if we do sin, Hashem has to punish us immediately or with near immediacy in order to allow us to continue existing. So that's the second analogy to the heart. The second analogy to the heart is that just like the heart is able to detect early any disease that it contracts, the Jewish people have an early detection system for disease, which is immediate pain and suffering, or almost immediate pain and suffering, and that helps us to continue surviving. Unlike the other nations, who are not as sensitive, and therefore will continue sinning and sinning and sinning, without feeling any of the symptoms of that sin until they finally are completely annihilated. So far, so good. So far, we've seen two analogies to the heart, between the heart and the Jewish people. So to review, number one is that the only way that the body can survive is through the heart. Similarly, the only way the world can experience divinity is through the Jewish people. Number two, the heart is the most sensitive of organs, and therefore it has an early detection system. So too, the Jewish people are the most sensitive to their sins, other than other nations, and therefore that's the key to our longevity and survival. Now let's go to number three, bottom of page 204. Just as the heart's inherent equilibrium and pure makeup allows the soul to attach to it, so too does the divinity attach itself to Israel because of their inherent nature. So the heart has a certain purity of makeup. It has a certain kind of pristine structure, which is not something that can be tampered with. So too, the divinity attaches itself to Israel because of their inherent nature. But despite the heart's inherent purity, it still becomes tainted at times because of the other organs, such as from the desires of the liver or the stomach or from problems of the testicles. Similarly, Israel becomes tainted from their assimilation with the other nations, as it says, and they assimilated with the nations and they learned from their ways. Okay, this is analogy number three, and it's probably the most important as far as the analogy goes. That even though the heart has a way of warding off illness, and it has a very robust constitution and a way of maintaining its health, Nevertheless, there are some times when the heart can develop disease because of the other organs that surround it. Meaning that, how does a heart experience stress? A heart experiences stress when other organs are in distress, or when other organs are diseased. So if a person has a diseased liver, the heart will start to beat faster and will come under stress. When a person has a diseased stomach, the heart will come under stress as well. The reason why he chooses these three examples, the liver, the stomach, and the testicles, is because these are also known, as the commentaries point out, as organs which drive the emotions. The liver is connected to a person's temper, to getting angry. The stomach is connected to a person's appetite for food. And the testes are the organ that's the source of a person's appetite for sexuality. So this is going to cause the heart, which is connected to these emotional organs that are the seat of emotional lusts and so forth, to become unhealthy if these organs have an unhealthy equilibrium and are excessive. So the heart can get sick based on the constitution, based on the health of the other organs. So the Jewish people can get sick, so to speak, through being influenced by the other nations of the world. If the other nations are violent, if the other nations have certain cultures which are antithetical to Torah, if the Jewish people allow themselves to be influenced by those other nations, then we become sick, we become spiritually ill as a result of those other nations. And that's what assimilation is. So now let's go back to the question, how do the Jews bear sins of other nations? The answer is through assimilation. In other words, it's not vicarious penitence, like at first glance it seems from the book of Isaiah. It's not that the Jewish people atone vicariously for the sins of other nations. If we are not in any way connected to the other nations, then there's no way that we can atone for their sins. What we atone for is when we absorb some of the behaviors of the other nations, then Hashem allows our suffering for assimilating those behaviors and allows it to atone for the other nations as well. That's what he says in paragraph number 4. It is therefore not far-fetched for Scripture to say about Israel, however he has borne our sicknesses. It is for this reason that we are in distress while the rest of the world is tranquil. The tragedies we encounter then actually cause us to rectify our observances and to cleanse and remove the impurities from within ourselves. Through our cleansing and rectification, the divinity can attach itself to this world. He basically says you have to put all three together. Number one, Hashem can only connect to the rest of the world if we are healthy, spiritually healthy. Number two, Hashem removes our sins in piecemeal fashion with almost immediacy, so that as soon as there's any spiritual illness within the Jewish people, Hashem, boom, he strikes us almost immediately in piecemeal fashion so that we continue existing through our expiation of sin. And number three, where do we get sin from? Why is it that the Jewish people sin so many times? Of course, part of the reason is because of the free will decisions that we make as an independent nation. But much of the time, the reason why Jewish people sin is because of the influences of the other nations. Sometimes those influences can be very subtle. Sometimes they can be very direct. Our values become corrupt. We become overly materialistic in our desire for stuff. We become jealous. We become gossipy. All of these values that we've inherited from the outside society creep into a Jewish society and then begin to corrupt us. So we become diseased. But if we become diseased, we got two problems. Number one, the Jewish people need to continue existing. And number two, the only way Hashem can connect to the rest of the world is through the Jewish people if one were healthy. So Hashem therefore causes us to suffer more than the rest of the world. even though the way we became diseased in the first place may have been as a result of the influences of the outside world, but we have to suffer first. We have to suffer first because we need to get better so that we can continue existing for the long term. And we also need to get better so that Hashem can connect to the rest of the world through us. And that's why the Jewish nation suffers more than any other nation in the world. Simple, right? Does it make sense, what he's trying to explain? I hope we've clarified it. I hope I've simplified it also. It's not that difficult, but the way the Rabbi Yehuda Levi is explaining it, it explains the analogy of the heart. The heart is an organ that affects the rest of the world. We affect the rest of the world. We are affected by the rest of the world. We're the most sensitive organ. We're the most sensitive nation in the world. We have to cleanse ourselves before the rest of the world can be cleansed. All of these things go into the mix of why the Jewish people suffer more than the rest of humanity. Okay. Question, yes?
Yeah, so should we be we shouldn't be really distancing ourselves from the rest of the world, like so that we don't get influenced by them. We still have to interact with other people. How do you feel about that?
Well, we have to distance ourselves from unhealthy values of the outside world, but that doesn't mean a complete segregation. Furthermore, complete segregation is impossible. It's not possible to completely segregate ourselves from the outside world. We have to interact with the outside world in order to survive. There's never been a time that I know, that I can even think of in Jewish history, where the Jewish people have been completely segregated from the outside world. So invariably, there's a creation of a semi-permeable membrane between the Jewish nation and the rest of the world. We have to make sure that the semi-permeable membrane is bringing in and out the positive and filtering out the negative. That's the challenge that we have as a nation. Yes?
I just wanted to share something with you that happened to me last week. I was at the gym, and I was working out beside another lady, and she told me she was a Messianic Jew, and we started to have a discussion, and she was telling me that all through scriptures, you know, it says that Jesus is God. And because of what I learned in your class about the suffering servant, I told her that she was incorrect. And
that's not so that she fall off the treadmill.
No, I mean, you know, we parted pleasantly, but I don't know, maybe I gave her something to think about with some of my answers.
Interesting.
You know.
Okay.
But it was due to this class.
Ah, okay, good. Yeah. No, I appreciate your sharing that. You know, a lot of times, you know, the Amcha, there's Amcha of the Jewish people, and there's Amcha of the Christian world, and of the Muslim world for that matter, too. There are people who are real hardcore theologians and have a full mastery of Scripture and of the commentaries, and then there are people who have heard things from their pastor or their minister or their priest, and they just repeat what they've heard, and those are the people who are the easiest to sort of show that you don't really know the full picture now, do you? In other words, and I remember having this, I remember when I was first married and I was learning in Kollel in Baltimore. And one day I happened to be home in the afternoon and I got a knock at the door and it was those Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, a couple of nice African-American ladies who wanted to convert me to their faith. And I said, but why, you know? And I gave them that the argument that the Ramban had given to Pablo Cristiani, but basically saying, listen, you know, I'm not a very sophisticated rabbi, the Ramban said, but you know, my ancestors were far more advanced than I am. Rabbi Akiva, Rabban Gamliel, you know, all the people that were alive during the times of Jesus, they were much more sophisticated than me. They knew him and they knew that he wasn't the Messiah. So no matter what argument you're going to try to provide to me, if they didn't accept him and they were far superior to me in their erudition and their knowledge of Torah and of what God wants, then certainly any argument is going to fall on deaf ears for me. But then, you know, they started to get frustrated because I said, listen, ladies, if you ever see one of these things on the door, you don't even have to knock, because there's no point. We've already found redemption. We've already found salvation in our scriptures. There's really no reason that you should want to try and convert us. We found God. And they said, but don't you see that it says in the Bible that you have to accept Jesus? I said, oh, here's a Bible. And I pulled one off the shelf. And I said, could you show me where Jesus is referenced in the Bible? And they started, well, look at Genesis, and it talks about the serpent and original. I said, well, you have a different way of reading that. But if you look at the words in their original text, you're not going to find any reference to your Savior in that text. There's so many ways of reading the text. Your pastor may have read it a certain way for you, but look at it the way it really appears, and you'll see that there's nothing really there that proves the point that you're trying to argue. You have to creatively read it in order to re-engineer Yashka back in the original Tanakh. So I'm glad that you had that that experience. Okay, why don't we hold it here for today? Yes. Oh,
this Patricia. Is very short.
Sure.
But it also has to deal with a visit by JWs to our house. Our daughter was home, and she answered the door, and of course they started off with the usual spiel. They said, do you know what God wants for you? And she said, yes, he wants me to be Jewish.
Good answer.